You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
It's been hard to keep up with all that has happened during the people's occupation of Wall Street in the last week. In New York City, Liberty Plaza has been peacefully occupied 24 hours a day for the last 2 weeks. Every day, hundreds of people from all walks of life come to visit and participate. Increasingly, unions, anti-war, anti-poverty, anti-racism, prison justice, environmental and other organizations are announcing their solidarity. Food and donations are pouring in, intellectuals and celebrities have joined in, and of course, FaceTube is abuzz with U-tweets. Occupations have sprung up or are planned in at least 70 cities in North America. There are ongoing marches, and the self-organized and participatory general assemblies are watched in real time by the thousands on the internet. Last week, we reached Code Pink's Melanie Butler, who has been an active participant in the movement. She is an anti-war activist and is originally from Souk, BC. Last week, she joined us from a quiet spot she found in a hotel bathroom, and today she joins us from a sidewalk. Good morning, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Last Saturday, you just stepped away from a march to talk to us. There were at least 70 people arrested after we talked with you. What exactly happened last Saturday?
Yeah, well, the latest number I got of the arrests that day was 86 confirmed arrests. So after I finished talking to you, I stepped outside of the hotel where I'd been conducting the interview, and it was about half an hour after I'd left the march, so I couldn't find where they are, so I just returned to Liberty Plaza, the encampment, and that's when I heard about what was happening uptown at Union Square. I'm sure everyone's heard by now, four women were maced in the face at very close range. I encourage everyone, if you haven't seen the videos, to go on YouTube and watch those videos. It's absolutely appalling. And we've been taking action against the officer who ordered those arrests, because it's all on tape, Officer Bologna. And people were penned in with orange netting at Union Square. They were kettled, they were funneled, and then the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, actually pulled over public transportation buses to transport the arrestees to the precinct. And I also heard reports from the legal team that they were doing retina scans of the people who were picked up, and even before, you know, these are people that haven't even been charged with crimes, and their privacy and civil liberties are being extremely violated in addition to all the violence that we all know about and that has been broadcast on the internet. The police followed, and in the evening they circled the square. There was about 100 NYPD on the block adjacent to the square just standing there. They had their paddy wagons lined up on all four sides with their lights on. They had fencing out. They had their orange nets out. And they had reams and reams of zip ties, which they've been using to handcuff people. It was an incredibly intimidating presence. And so we just sat in the square very peacefully. We talked about what we were going to do. It did look like they were getting ready to sweep in and make mass arrests there at the square. But for whatever reason, eventually they went away, and so we've been there ever since.
You use the word intimidation. Is that your sense of things here, that this is what the police are trying to do?
Yes, that's what it seems like. So we've been resisting that. On Saturday when they circled the square, we circled the square, we lit candles. So there were lines of candles circling the square and then lines of police officers behind that. We had the bike block circling with their bright colors and flags and bells, you know, circling. That's kind of like our own policing. The bike block takes care of us, and they kind of ride ahead on the marches to see what kind of reinforcements the police have. And so, yeah, that's how we're responding to their fear tactics.
You mentioned the 86 have been arrested. Anything more on them? Have they been processed and released, or are they still being held?
As far as I know, they have been released, and some of them were speaking yesterday at the huge rally that we had, against the rally against police intimidation and police violence. some of them were speaking, and we had signs with their names. You know, we are all first name, last name, but of the main people that were arrested and charged most heavily.
And you mentioned that you've been taking action against the police misconduct there. What kind of actions have you been undertaking?
Well, just like I said, we had a mass march yesterday. We marched up to the police precinct. It was a silent protest. We did not chant. We just marched silently in respect of the people who were arrested. And then once we were at NYPD headquarters, there were speeches, and there were speeches from the labor unions that are supporting us and from some of the people that were arrested and have been released. And it was the hugest demonstration that has taken place since the occupation started on September 17th. I heard estimates that there were 2,000 people. There were at least 1,000 people, I would say. It was massive.
The movement seems to have grown very quickly. Is that your sense of things as well?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, that was the biggest demonstration yet yesterday. And it just, every night in the General Assembly, it seems like there's a larger crowd. So, we're growing.
And in terms of movement building, what would you say have been the most significant things about the last week?
Well, in the last week, we had some really significant and exciting endorsements. Most significantly, the transit workers' union have expressed their solidarity with us. They were there yesterday at the massive rally, and that's a huge win for us. They're one of the biggest unions in the country, and they have immense power. You know, and they control all the public transportation, so that's fantastic. We're really happy about that. And one of my own personal wins was I got a really lovely letter on Tuesday. Just as people were actually marching, rallying in solidarity with the postal workers in New York City, I got a letter from the Canadian Union of Postal Workers saying that their 54,000 members support us, and that was a really great letter, and that's posted on the Code Pink blog, and I announced it in the General Assembly to tremendous applause. So, yeah, the unions are just coming out, and, you know, they're lining up to endorse us.
Aside from the unions, where else have you been getting support?
Well, our outreach team has done a great job. They're canvassing in the boroughs, on the subways. So we've been getting, I'm sure you've heard, that we've been getting a lot of celebrity endorsements. Eve Ensler of the Vagina Monologue came down yesterday. Susan Sarandon's been down. Russell Simmons has been down many times. Michael Moore. So we've had a lot of celebrity endorsements. And maybe more significantly, the community has come out in support of us. The other night, the leader of the community board that represents the district that we're actually occupying came down to the General Assembly and addressed us, and he said, I want you to know the downtown community loves you. Keep the faith. We support you. So that was a huge win as well, just to know that the people actually in that area are with us.
That sounds very exciting. You mentioned the General Assembly. Can you give me an idea what that is exactly? What is the is it a democratic organization, or what is it exactly?
Sure, of course. So the General Assembly is the meeting that we have twice a day now, one in the morning and then one at 7 p.m. every day. And it's where we make announcements from the working group, and we discuss the whatever important issues need to be discussed. You know, if there's been arrests that day, we have report backs on that, legal advice, and then also just our larger principles of solidarity and whatever the working groups are working on that they need our input from. That's where those things get discussed. And I should also say that's how this demonstration formed in the first place. Once Adverbusters put the call out, we met in New York City to discuss what to do on September 17th and if we wanted to occupy Wall Street or what was this all about. And that became the first General Assembly of New York. And now we kind of use that term also not just to refer to the protest, but to refer to kind of the body itself. So you'll hear that used as a noun, like the General Assembly says whatever. And there's a website as well, if you're interested, where all our meeting notes are posted.
And I know there's something called the Declaration of the Occupation of New York City. Was that also produced by, what is that, and was it produced by the General Assembly?
Yeah, so that's also online. That was produced by one of the working groups that was formed out of the General Assembly, the Call to Action Working Group. And the idea was that, I'm sure you've heard, there's been this concept of demand thrown around, and all the media seem to be really obsessed with this idea of what is our one demand. And so that's been an idea that's been taken up a lot of our time in the General Assembly. So the Call to Action Working Group came up with this declaration. It's kind of a play on the Declaration of Independence. And the principles that we feel are important, and they collected those by going to all the working groups and collecting feedback during the General Assemblies. And the idea is that out of that declaration may come eventually our demands.
Okay, and the recent uprisings in the Middle East are often referred to as an Arab awakening. This seems increasingly like it might be the beginnings of an American or North American awakening, or perhaps even a world awakening. What do you see being awakened in the people around you?
Well, one thing that I find particularly exciting in the transformation that I see happening in the people around me is in young women's participation. Young women have played such a huge role in this movement, and unfortunately, that's not always represented in the media coverage. You know, I saw some news coverage the other day where they interviewed 10 people and one of them was a woman, and that just doesn't represent who we are. So we had a media training the other day. Some Code Pink leaders came down and held a media training for women and non-male identifying people, and that was really successful. And what I see is just them learning to speak in the General Assembly, speak to reporters, and just really, you know, finding their voices and having their voices reflected back to them by their peers in the process of the General Assembly, I think is really empowering.
And overall, how have you found the media coverage of the event? I know it's been on Democracy Now!, but if you look in the New York Times, you don't see as much. What's your impression in that regard?
Of course, yeah, the media blackout is now notorious, and there's some very humorous and clever signs about it down here at the Occupation. And what's interesting is that I've been hearing from people who do not live in the U.S. that actually the international media is covering it much more than our own country's media has been. And you're right, Democracy Now! And a number of other stations have been really great. Independent journalists have been great, but by and large, the large media conglomerates, which are, of course, owned by the corporations that we are protesting against, have, not surprisingly, been largely absent from the square.
Well, Melanie, we appreciate not only your joining us today, but your efforts down there in New York City, and hopefully it'll continue to spread in New York, and not only New York, but also to other places around the world.
That's right. I heard rumors that Vancouver's having its own Occupy Vancouver.
Yeah, we have the art gallery, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks so much. I've been speaking.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye, Melanie. I've been speaking with Melanie Butler. She is a New York City activist and coordinator for Code Pink's Truth Set Free campaign. She's originally from Souk on Vancouver Island and has worked with war resistors and peace groups across Canada. You can follow her on Twitter at underscore Truth Set Free for a live video feed of the occupations at the General Assemblies being held both in New York and across North America. Visit livestream.com/globalrevolution. And to find out about occupations being planned in cities across North America and the world, you can visit occupytogether.org.